And hiya, folks. I am John Galt, and welcome to our podcast. That was Loverboy doing our intro, and that song actually pertains to what we're going to be doing here today. And in fact, you know, I listening to that, I like that so much. We may end up making that our theme song. I'm not sure. I've got some definite Mike Reno connections out there, but that's not something to talk about right at the moment. But anyway, what we're going to be doing today, I thought we would go about this in such a way. There's so much going on right now, and I want to do a little thing that I am going to refer to as the two-minute warning, right? So what I'm going to do is I'm only going to spend 2 minutes on each topic I cover. So I am going to have to go through this sucker like a freight train. But it is a two-minute warning, because the things that we're going to talk about hopefully should be sort of a caveat to those out there who, again, think that everything is just sunshine and roses out there right now. And what they don't realize is that, unfortunately, this country may be in the most dire circumstances it's been in possibly ever, but certainly in a long time. So let's get moving here. I'm hoping actually maybe over the next week or so I'm going to have some time off from my teaching job, so because of Thanksgiving break, and I'm hoping to maybe get a couple of podcasts done. I'd certainly like to do another Thanksgiving one, as I really enjoyed last year's. But anyway, let's get moving here. 2 minutes on each subject, and first up, okay, to jump right into it with both feet here, certainly a controversial topic, the notion of abortion in the healthcare bill, which is currently making its way through the Senate, and looks like it will at least pass the initial hurdle there. And what's all the controversy about? Well, it's not just another argument over the abortion issue. It's the notion of whether or not, if the healthcare bill does pass, if in fact that people should be required to pay for abortion. And there's all kinds of legislation in there. I mean, I'm sure you've seen some of this stuff, this whole idea of an actual monthly fee, basically, that would pay for folks to have abortions. But all kinds of stuff going on in there. Now, obviously, the idea here is about 50%, at least 50% of the American populace is against abortion. So this idea that they should be forced, that their money should be confiscated to pay for something that they consider to be murder, is that valid or not? Well, I would say absolutely not. Absolutely not. On a totally ethical, moral level, of course it's not valid. Now, what will happen is you'll have folks saying, well, wait a minute, what about all the things that we may disagree with that we have to pay for? Like, let's say military action. I mean, we shouldn't have to be paying for these wars if we don't believe in them, should we? Well, actually, here's John Galt's response to that. No, you shouldn't. No, you shouldn't. I tell you, I am perfectly willing, and I think I've said this before, let's have little check off boxes on your tax return so you can say exactly where your money is going to go to. I'm perfectly okay with that. And the reason I'm okay with that is because I know that what will happen is the first time that we have another 9/11 type situation, you folks who are so anti-war and such peaceniks are going to be checking off that military box like nobody's business. So yeah, I'm perfectly for that. Let's make it a totally democratic deal. Because personally, John Galt thinks that the basic decent people of this nation, okay, as opposed to all of our politicians, the average Joe on the street has a good sense of right and wrong. Occasionally, you know, unfortunately, mitigating factors might affect that. I mean, obviously, a lot of folks put Obama in office. But I think people are basically decent. And if we give them the chance to do the right thing, I think they'll make the right choices. So I don't know if it's necessarily a good idea to have such, you know, a checkoff system on your taxes, but what I'm saying is, I don't think that's any more dangerous than putting stuff like this in the hands of some very scary people in Washington. And next up, we have, here's a story. Apparently the Washington Blade, which is an all-gay newspaper, is going out of business. Now, what do you say about this, folks? Well, first of all, I think what we'd have to say is that their circulation must not be fabulous. But, you know, newspapers are going down everywhere. No pun intended here. But what do you say about this? Well, I think it's, well, probably the fact that what they're going to have to do now is what I assume gay advocacy groups have been telling us for a very long time, which is that we should all embrace inclusion. Well, if we're going to do that, then what we need to do is stop excluding people. So maybe the folks who read this newspaper will have to actually start reading newspapers which are, gasp, also written by straight folks. What a crazy notion. I mean, I read any number of news stories, I watch any number of television shows, I, you know, listen to any number of podcasts, what have you, that are done by gay folks. So, you know, I don't think it's necessarily a crazy notion that you might actually have to read a newspaper that has heterosexuality involved. And I don't know what to say about this beyond that. Possibly the fact that, in my opinion, probably what actually hurt their circulation more than anything is that people were probably, I'm guessing they've done a lot of stories about Rosie O'Donnell, and people were probably seeing, you know, her picture on the front of the newspaper, and they were confusing it with like Animal Husbandry Monthly or something. Some people, by the way, would say that that joke was a cheap shot, but if you look at how many cheap shots Rosie O'Donnell has taken at people over the years, a truly, truly awful woman who, in my opinion, as far as celebrities go, and that's saying a lot, has done a fair amount to, I believe, hurt the traditional notions of what this country is. I think she's part of the problem rather than part of the solution. But anyway, so yep, the gay blade is going down, and I guess that's just something that folks will have to live with. Let's see, and next up, and I'm sure you have probably read something about this story, all the reports about the stimulus package, Obama's stimulus package, which supposedly has saved so many jobs. I have no idea how you're able to verify that a job is saved, but it saved and created so many jobs. All the reports now are showing that, golly, they actually are reporting that they have saved and created jobs in districts that do not exist. Well, imagine that. Does this come as a surprise to anyone? I mean, if you look at everything that has been said about the stimulus package so far, every single iota of it has been a lie. The stimulus package is nothing but an attempt to, well, it's a couple of things, really. It's an attempt to destroy our economy, number one. And I think we need to get beyond this notion that we can't say that. Oh, no, it's crazy that, you know, an American president and his administration would actually want to destroy this country. Bull. And I'm tired of pussyfooting around about this stuff. That's exactly what they're bent on doing. There are only two possibilities. They're either incredible morons, and I am not willing to believe that of all of them, or they're doing this purposely. But what the stimulus package also does is pay off an incredible number of political cronies on the left. And what we're going to see, mark my words, is that it's also being used in 9 million different ways to campaign for, well, for our representatives in 2010, and more than likely to campaign for Mr. Obama in 2012. Mark my words there, that's what's going to happen. And we need to be watching groups like Acorn, because that's where it's going to be going on. Or some other group now, right? I mean, they're trying to push Acorn into the back, even though they're still responsible for all sorts of nefarious behavior at the moment. But keep an eye on this, gang. You're going to see stimulus money, and there will be news reports of it. Probably, you know, the folks at Fox or Glenn Beck or whatever will report on this, but you're not going to see it from the mainstream media. So when you do see it, tell everybody you know, get the word out there. It does change things. And let's see, next up I wanted to mention, I don't know if you folks I don't know if you watch the Thursday night lineup on NBC. My girlfriend and I always do, and it's generally a pretty good lineup of shows. Community is extremely funny, I have found now. Parks and Recreation, you know, a little less so, but still very funny. The Office, of course, just a wonderful show. I can even put up with 30 Rock because it has its moments, although it's very uneven, and they tend to shoehorn a lot more politics into that. And that's sort of what I was going to mention today. They just did last week, it was their, I guess, their annual Green Week, where all the shows had some sort of a green theme and what have you. If they're going to do that, don't you think that they have a responsibility to mention the fact that NBC is owned by General Electric, and that General Electric looks to make a fortune from all of the changing technology that is due to quote-unquote climate change and the whole green movement? You know, don't you think they should at least be obliged to mention that? Because I can tell you, just off the light bulbs alone, those new fancy mercury-based little light bulbs that are probably going to end up killing folks before they're over, don't they have some sort of a responsibility to say, hey, we're going to make a fortune off of this? I can tell you, if it was something on the right, they sure as hell would expect them to. But, I mean, again, who's surprised here? We know that global warming is a scam. And in fact, there was just a story, and you should look into this, gang, but apparently someone just hacked into the database of one of the big climate change advocacy groups. And it's amazing what they found. It's amazing, you know, the kind of obfuscation that they've attempted. I mean, and what you see here, they just pretty much absolutely come out now and admit that they're making this stuff up. But you should look into that. And there was also a story this week that, unbelievable, what the lengths that they will go to. I mean, literally, we know that they have blamed pretty much everything that in the entirety of existence on global warming. But there was a story this week that came out and said that third world women in third world countries, are turning to prostitution and getting venereal diseases because of climate change. You can't make this stuff up. I should also mention, since we're talking about NBC, this week there was an episode of Law & Order, which is a show that I once thought was a pretty darn good show the first couple of seasons, but they have increasingly become more and more political, and there was actually an episode this week where one of the characters came right out and said, this is why we need government health care. Can you imagine an episode of Law & Order or any other show where a character would come out and say something like, this is why abortion should be illegal, or this is why people should not put up with a progressive tax system or what have you? That wouldn't happen. Anyway, moving along, there was a story in the London Times, I believe it was, or the Times Online is I think where I read it, out of Great Britain, obviously. And the headline of that story read, gun sales shoot up amid America's fear of rising crime and terrorism. Now, you gotta love this, folks. I mean, yeah, they're absolutely right. Gun sales are up tremendously. But, again, I mean, even the British press has to slant this stuff, don't they? The sales shoot up amid America's fear of rising crime and terrorism. Well, if you read the story, they did not do any kind of research to determine why gun sales were up. There's nothing in there that bespeaks that. It's just a matter of them saying, well, it must be the fact that crime is rising and there's the fear of terrorism. That's why people are buying more guns. No! Do you not get this? Let me explain this to you, Percy, okay? Gun sales are up because people are becoming terrified of our government. People are becoming terrified of what Mr. Obama is trying to do. Now, if you look in this article of which I'm speaking, what you'll find is that the only mention of Obama in there is when they say that, well, this is also perhaps because people are afraid that Mr. Obama will enact stricter gun control laws. No! No, I mean, people are afraid of that too, but more than anything, it's just that they're afraid of Mr. Obama. And they're afraid of his administration when you have folks like Anita Dunn, who came out recently and said that one of her favorite philosophers is Mao Zedong. I mean, come on. What's not to fear about these people? You know, there was another story out there about the fact that militia groups are really coming to prominence again. Well, ask yourself why. what the folks on the left want to say is, oh, well, it's because of racism. It's because they fear a black man. No, it's because we fear an evil man. We fear a socialist man. We fear a totalitarian man. That's why. And again, as I say, you know, it's going to get worse before it gets better, gang. Anyway, we have a story. Apparently a lawsuit was dropped. The manager of the Black Eyed Peas, a man named Liborio Molina, apparently had taken a poke at Perez Hilton. And by that, by the way, I mean he struck him. Okay, let's make that clear since we're talking about Perez here. But apparently the Black Eyed Peas manager struck Perez Hilton from behind. And the particulars of this, apparently punched him from behind outside a nightclub in Toronto after the openly gay blogger, Perez Hilton, referred to Will.i.am as a, well, it's a word that I will not repeat, but it's a slur meant for homosexuals. And so apparently the manager punched him in the head from behind, I guess. And I think the lawsuit is now being dropped because the manager was willing to apologize for it. Now, why do I mention this story? Well, mainly so that I can live vicariously through it. Because I have to tell you, I'd like to take a swing at Perez Hilton myself. If you look at everything about this guy, he is absolutely the poster child for, well, certainly for everything that's wrong in the business of show, as we say, but also really almost this country in general. The guy is just a nasty piece of work. And I have yet to see a redeeming quality in him. I mean, he may be, I don't know, you know, maybe he gives out fruit baskets, no pun intended, at Christmas, and maybe he treats his little dog Skippy just fine, but in every other respect, he's just an awful individual. And if you look at things like the whole Miss USA fiasco with Carrie Prejean, and this guy setting a little trap for her, you realize just what an awful person he is. By the way, I should mention, too, that there has been a lot of talk here recently about Carrie Prejean and if there were, I don't know, photographs taken of her or videos or whatever. And inevitably, the question comes up of, oh, well, isn't she a hypocrite? Isn't she a hypocrite? Well, I don't know. I can't speak to whether or not she is because I don't know her. But let me tell you, and I may have said this before, but I think it bears repeating. You know the easiest way in the world not to be a hypocrite? It's to not stand for anything in the first place. As long as you do not take any sort of a moral or ethical stand on anything, then you can never be accused of being a hypocrite. Now, as far as her particular stand on stuff, you know, I applaud her for that. Whether or not I agree with her on the subject of gay marriage and the like, the fact is she stood up for what she believed in. She did not hesitate. She did not wait to think about what might be politically correct or what might help her in the long run. She said what she felt. And damn it, we need more of that in this country. We need to stop being such a bunch of freaking hothouse flowers and say what we think and feel. And let those chips fall where they may. If people don't want to associate with us because of it, you know, what have you, then that's what needs to happen. But we need to stop being so afraid of expressing what it is we believe. And Perez Hilton, well, what I believe is that he is a total joke of a human being. Anyway, moving on. In other showbiz news, and this is big news, apparently Oprah is planning on ending her show in 2011, I believe it is. Originally, I know she was planning on just moving it, I believe, to her own network, but now it looks like she may end the show entirely. So we have to ask ourselves how we feel about this. Well, how I feel about it is that I'd like to start singing Happy Days Are Here Again. I cannot speak to what exactly is in Oprah's soul. I do know that I stopped watching her show regularly many, many, many years ago simply because I found it to be, well, a very sexist show. I mean, I don't know that it is as much anymore, but I know in the early days, she really jumped on the whole man-hating bandwagon that people like Sally Jesse Raphael and Jenny Jones and other people were using to, you know, really sell their talk shows to the female audience. Now, in Oprah's case, it probably wasn't quite as pronounced as maybe some of the others, but it was very definitely there. And so, you know, I stopped watching then. And over the years, I've watched the show. While the sexism, I can't attest to the fact that it has or hasn't remained there. But I've seen it become a very political show at times. And of course, Oprah went out of her way to basically campaign for Mr. Obama on her show, and then refused to have people like Sarah Palin on her show until after the election. And as we just saw, when Sarah Palin finally did appear on Oprah's show last week, it was the highest ratings that Oprah has gotten in several years. And, you know, maybe if she didn't take such a boneheaded political view on her show, maybe her ratings would not have plummeted so much in recent years. I mean, I just read a story that said that the Judge Judy show regularly beats her in that time slot. I think that says something, folks. But what I would say is watch this, because even though Oprah's show is going to end, I am willing to bet you dollars to donuts that she is probably going to seek and or accept a position in the Obama administration. I can almost guarantee it. I am going to say some sort of either an ambassador or maybe some sort of a czar, and God knows he doesn't have enough of those yet. But watch that. I think that's what we're going to see. And let's see, next up here. And I tell you, gang, this is a story near and dear to my heart. Apparently, they are coming close to rioting at UCLA because the university has announced a tuition hike of 32%. And the student body there is just going crazy. You know, what has happened is UCLA has said, look, if we do not get a large amount of money from the state, right, meaning taxpayers' money, if we don't get that, we're going to have to raise tuition 32%. Now, first of all, what that possibly means, too, is that UCLA is trying to use this as leverage to the state, basically saying, look, you know, here's this rioting happening, and they're probably hoping that the students will contact their representatives and the like, maybe get something done. But What I look at as the real story here are the fact that you have all of these whiny kids suddenly saying, and I read the news story about this, you had these kids quoted as saying things like, this isn't fair. I mean, my gosh, after you're 6 years old, I would hope that you don't use the phrase, this isn't fair anymore. I don't know how to break this to you kids, but no, life is not always fair. And even the notion that there is such a thing as fairness is kind of stupid. It's a notion that folks on the left try to put into place, right, and to give them an excuse to do all kinds of awful things. But, you know, fairness does not really exist, and it's not something that we can impose. But even beyond that, what the hell is not fair about expecting you to pay for your education? People have to do so all the time. And if it becomes more expensive to do that, then that's what's going to have to happen. But, you know, you have nobody but yourself to blame. You people in your particular generation, and especially people who are in college, put Mr. Obama in place. And the economy is getting worse, and it's going to keep getting worse until we get this guy out of there, more than likely. And that's what's destroying the economy, and that's what's making the university have to up your tuition rates. So how's that hope and change thing working out for you, kids? Here's a crazy idea. You know, get a job while you're working your way through college and, get a job and work your way through college like so many other people do. Crazy notion, huh? Take off your damn Birkenstocks, put on some work shoes, get behind the counter at Taco Bell, and work your way through college. Plenty of folks have done it. But, of course, those are people who have a certain amount of character and integrity, something we see far too little of these days. And let's see. Oh, here's a nice little bit of information. This has to do with the Reverend Jesse Jackson, our favorite, who apparently this week, he was criticizing Arthur Davis, who is a Democrat, Alabama, I believe, who was voting against the health care bill. And Jesse, being the fair-minded type that he is, said, We even have blacks voting against the health care bill from Alabama. And he said, you can't vote against health care and call yourself a black man. Wow. That pretty much says it, doesn't it, folks? I mean, Jesse, for all his talk, wants people to stay on the plantation. If you stray off of it, then suddenly you're, what, an Uncle Tom, I guess? Here you have a guy who's apparently voting his conscience, and Jesse wants to, well, basically, there's no other way you can put this, gang. Jesse wants to dehumanize this guy. Jesse Jackson has the gall to say about this man, you can't be a black man if you have this opinion? I thought that the key word these days was diversity. Well, isn't this guy being diverse? I mean, and this guy is being the true notion of diversity, which is diversity of thought, right? The color of your skin is not a matter of diversity, right? You can have two people with entirely different skin colors and they can view everything in exactly the same way. Or two people of different genders or two people of different sexual orientations. They could all view every aspect of every issue exactly the same way. That's not diversity. Diversity is diversity of thought. That's true diversity. But no, the Jesse Jacksons of this world can't have any of that, can they? No, you either think my way, you either think the way that our caucus, our organization has decided is valid, or you're not, not only are you not one of us, not only are you not part of our organization, but you're not even part of our race. Well, let me tell you something, Jesse Jackson. As far as I'm concerned, when you speak like that, you cannot even be a member of my race. And by that, I mean the human race. Shame on you. Shame on you, you disgusting, adulterous, anti-Semitic little troll of a man. Blech. You make me sick. And while we're speaking about anti-Semitism, there was a story in the news this week about the fact that the White House is going to cut the annual Hanukkah party at the White House in half. They're going to just streamline the whole thing, have half as many people there, just cut the entire party in half. Now, if you look at the stats on the other parties, for instance, the parties that they have had for Islamic holidays, right? Not only have they not cut them down, but they have in fact increased them, both the frequency and the actual amount spent on such events, right? This is just one more attempt of the Obama administration to, as greatly as they can, marginalize the Jewish folks in our culture. And I mean, we can certainly see this in the way that they have treated Israel, but of the Jewish world in general. And when asked about this, the Obamatons are claiming, well, it's because of the economy. We have to scale things down wherever possible. Oh, really? Really, you have to scale things down whenever possible. And yet Mr. Obama is throwing lavish parties, right, with $100 a pound beef, right? He's taking Michelle on these little nights out on the town, you know, using Air Force One to do that. Do you have any idea how much it cost even to make, you know, one short trip on Air Force One? And he has to scale down a party at the White House to cut corners? That's BS. It's nothing but BS. And again, here's just one more person who, frankly, should be ashamed of himself. But gang, as I've said a million times before, these people do not have shame, right? And it's something, folks like you and me, we look at shame and guilt and having a conscience as something which limits people, which hopefully will keep them from doing a great deal of evil. We need to stop looking at these people that way because I'm telling you right now, they are functionally sociopaths. And let's see, up next, speaking of the Obamasiah, as a matter of fact, apparently, recently Obama made an appearance with a bunch of military folks, and he actually said to them, wow, you guys make for a good photo op. Now, what do you say to this? You may have read this story, it hasn't gotten great press, but you may have read it in the kind of news sources that you and I might actually see. Well, what do you say to this? A guy who openly, and I'm sure he thought he was joking, and he probably thought that other people would assume he was joking, but as with the best jokes, there's an element of truth to this. Now, my question is, and as I mentioned, there's a good chance you did not see this story. Well, why didn't you? Can you imagine if George W. Bush had appeared at a military base and he had said, "Well, golly, you guys make for a great photo op." They would have been on him like, well, I was going to say like ugly on an ape, but my girlfriend tells me not to say that because apes are not ugly. Well, sweetie, you are right. Apes are not ugly. But this administration is ugly. And anyone who would appear with our soldiers who do a sacred thing, right? People who are willing to give their lives for this country and to make light of this, and especially in light of everything that's going on in Afghanistan and in light of the recent shootings that happened at Fort Hood, for this guy to stand there and say, "Hey, you guys make for a great photo op," he should be ashamed. And he's ugly. He's uglier than, I'm telling you, any president I think I've seen in my lifetime. And that includes such winners as Richard Nixon. And that includes such winners as the increasingly awful Jimmy Carter, who at one time I thought probably, while being a terrible president, might have been a decent man. I now see him for his ugliness as well, and it's awful. But again, we have to come to expect this from these people. We'd like that not to be the case, and we'd like to remain hopeful about the content of their character and hopefully about what's going to happen to their immortal souls. But I increasingly come to the conclusion that if these people have souls, they're very, very dark. And that's not a racist comment, Mr. Carter. Let's see, and just one more quick story for the day. There was a story this week that Lincoln University, which I think is Pennsylvania, I want to say, but there was a story that, and it's a historically and predominantly a black university, but there was a story that students there are being required to pass a fitness class, like a 3-hour a week fitness class, if they are overweight. And that's determined by, I believe, they look at their body fat percentage or some such thing. But they have to pass a 3-hour fitness class if they are considered overweight, or they cannot graduate. Again, what do you say here? Well, if in fact it's a private university, I am not going to argue the fact that they have the right to make that stipulation. I believe that a private organization has the right to set its own standards. But I'm guessing right now, and please, folks, if you know that I'm wrong, please correct me here, but I'm pretty certain they probably accept public money. And as we know from organizations like the Boy Scouts and various other entities, if you accept public money, You cannot just carte blanche make whatever rules you want. So I'm guessing that's probably the case with Lincoln University. But just this whole notion, beyond whether or not they have the right to do so, what an awful thing. What an absolutely awful thing. This all boils down to what is happening to us nationwide, which is the micromanagement of every aspect of our lives. There's a certain group out there who wants to have the authority to decide how we live and what's in our best interest. And that is one scary thing, gang. Anyway, as I said, I want to do probably several podcasts this week if I can, so we'll cut this one short. And hopefully within the next couple of days, we'll get another one out to you. I will remind you again, if you enjoy this podcast, if you hate this podcast, I would appreciate it if you would let me know. You just go to my website, which is www.johngault.podomatic.com, and you can leave responses, and I would appreciate it so much if you would, folks. It means a tremendous amount to me. As I said, whether you love it, whether you hate it, let me hear you. As I said earlier in this podcast, what we need to do in every aspect of our lives is to tell people what we think. So let me hear from you. And in closing, since I was just talking about this notion of people who want to dominate us for, quote, our own good, I'm going to leave you with this quote from C.S. Lewis, who said this: "Of all tyrannies, a tyranny sincerely exercised for the good of its victims may be the most oppressive. It would be better to live under robber barons than under omnipotent moral busybodies. The robber baron's cruelty may sometimes sleep. His cupidity may at some point be satiated. But those who torment us for our own good will torment us without end, for they do so with the approval of their own conscience. Take care, folks.